But I'm glad for the truth of that song. Dr. Weigel had a good thought and a good touch of God on him when he wrote that song. Amen. By the way, I noticed on Joshua's broadcast last night, he played that song. But he didn't play it by our congregation singing it, neither did he play it by Brother Steve singing it. He played it by a young lady from Kansas. Right. And I don't know. Yeah. Then he preached about Potiphar's wife chasing after Joseph. I don't know if there's a connection there or not. Amen. Amen. But anyway, that's a blessing. Amen. And of course, we have had requests that we put Brother Steve up singing it on the radio so they can request it. And Brother Steve has denounced that. He has vetoed that every time we've ever said anything about it. Amen. Amen. All right. Amen. He won't sell us the music rights to him singing it. That's too high. Amen. Amen. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, where I'm going to be reading tonight, a verse of scripture very familiar and become known as a recipe for revival. I'm going to read that tonight. I am going to preach about reviving, a stirring. You call it whatever you want to. We need it. Amen. That's what Brother Vance Havner said. He said, you knew he had a way of saying things. He said that some people call needing to be filled with the Spirit. Some say need to be baptized with the Spirit. Some say getting more of the Spirit. Some say the Spirit getting more of you. He said, call it whatever you want. We need it. Amen. And I think that's right. Then another little thing he said about it, said a preacher called him one time asking would he come hold a revival for him. He said, absolutely not. He said, I'm not interested in holding revival. He said, that's the problem now. People have been holding back. Amen. And trying to hold revival. He said, we need to turn one loose. Amen. And but here's the thing. Revival's not in our power. We can't produce salvation. We can't produce revival. Amen. We cannot force God's hand. Say, all right, Lord, if they say these words, that's going to mean they get saved. Or if we do these things, that's going to mean you got to revive us. We can't force God's hand. But I do believe we can have ourselves prepared that if God were to see fit to blow. By the way, let me say this too. We don't have to force God to save people. He wants to save people. We don't have to force God to send revival. He wants to send revival among His people. I do believe that. Amen. We can prepare our heart that if He were to blow, we could have our sail up, as they say. Amen. That He could blow on us and we could get the help we need. All right. 2 Chronicles 7, verse number 14. This is part of Solomon's prayer. And God, as He's answered Solomon in his prayer, He says in verse 14, if my people, by the way, this goes back to previous, He said, all these things, send the pestilence and all these things come, all right. Then, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Brother Hall, would you lead us, please? Yes.
What a great truth it really is. And I pray, Lord, that you speak to us as your children.
Please, Lord, do it.
You can preach and speak to our hearts. Help us, I pray, get our own heart and life in a position, Lord.
Yes, I want to be, Lord. Yes.
Revive us again that we're not rejoicing. We know that trouble does not keep revival from coming.
That's right.
Well, man, walk in trouble instead of revival. Well, I pray you're blessed tonight. Bless those, Lord, that
yes.
Bless those that are fighting temptation. Bless those that are fighting sickness and disease. And Lord, I pray you bless our church. In the move of God, breathe it on.
Yes, God, please.
And we'll thank you, Lord, for what you do in God's loving name.
Amen. 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 Thank you for standing. You can be seated. And I do appreciate that prayer. Amen. Well, my thought tonight not be a long thought. you've heard preaching on revival and the need of revival and all that. I don't think I need to spend a great deal of time describing to you the fact that we need revival. Amen. You can look at the state of our nation, and certainly you'd have to say we need revival. Look at the state of the world, you'd have to say we need revival. Look at the state of Christianity, religion, oh my goodness, and you'd have to say we need revival. Matter of fact, if you just be honest and look at our own church, look at our own life, and we'd have to say, Lord, I need a stir. We need a revival. Amen. It's not the fact that there's a need. Sinners need to be saved. That don't make God save them. Churches need revival. Saints need reviving. That doesn't make God save them. But I believe that God's interested in saving sinners, and I believe that God's interested in reviving the church. I want to think on this thought tonight, and I've got 2 points, really, is all I've got. 2 points. Some things that will happen if we have revival. Some things that will happen. I think about if we experience a time of reviving. I wrote some things down about some reasons why we don't have revival. Number one is because we'd rather watch TV than watch and pray. Because we'd rather call the neighbors and criticize somebody than call on the Lord and commend somebody to the throne of grace. Amen. Because we're too busy reading the papers instead of reading the Word of God. Because we're too interested in the things of the world to be interested in the things of heaven and spiritual things. And we'll have to say, oh me, every one of us more than likely, have to say that there are times, maybe you won't have to right now, maybe you can say, I just wake up looking forward to the Word of God, and I'll be honest, many days I do. But there are times when I sort of let it slide a little bit, and I put it off. There are times when I'm ready to pray. By the way, troubles come, and you'll look for a place to pray. But it seems like when things are going real good, we can't find a place or a time to pray. Well, when I think about some things that will happen, number one, if we have revival, there will be a time of repentance. Our Lord makes that statement in this verse. Let me look back at verse number 12 and read down through this verse again. He says, "And the Lord appeared unto Solomon by night and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer and have chosen this place to myself for an house of sacrifice." So there gives you a little bit of context. This is talking about the setting up of the temple. The house of God's been built in Jerusalem. Solomon has labored these years, and David has provided things and put up things. And so the desire of David's heart, the desire of Solomon's heart, the desire of the people of God's heart has come to pass. The house is built. But an empty house is not what they wanted. They wanted a house that was filled with the presence of God. And so Solomon prayed. And you see the prayer in chapter 6. And he prays and calls on God. In chapter 7, verse 1, when Solomon had made an end of praying, the fire came down from heaven. Amen. That's what we need, isn't it? A fire from heaven. Not a fire from the seminary or a fire from somebody's book, somebody that can tell us how to do it. We need a fire from heaven. Came down and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the house. Oh my. I'd say that's revival. That's what I'm longing for, to see God move in a special and a mighty way. But God tells Solomon in verse number 12, I've heard your prayer and I've chosen this place. But look at verse 13. If I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now mine eyes shall be open and mine ears attent
unto the prayer that is made in this place. So bookends of this is prayer. Prayer, he said, I've heard your prayer, and I'm listening for prayer to come from this place. But he's saying right in the middle of that, if troubles come in the land, I've shut up the heaven that there be no rain. By the way, that means crops are failing. That means people are going hungry. That means terrible times for a group of people that live from the farmland. By the way, we have come so far from that. It's almost like people believe we have evolved above that. We don't have to have farmland. But can I tell you that if the farms fail, the supermarkets are not able to put things out. Amen. The restaurants won't be able to provide food. On and on it goes if the farms fail. So God said, if I shut up the heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, again, the pestilence, the pests, locusts have come and they've eaten up the crops and all the things that are good. Again, people going hungry. Or if I send pestilence among my people, and I believe that may very well not just be talking about insects, that may be talking about diseases and problems that plague the people of God. We can see that all around us, can't we? We can see the fact there's not been much rain from heaven. I'm talking about real Holy Ghost rain from heaven in a pretty good while. Amen. There's pestilence in our land. There's things devouring our land around us. Amen. But if we're ever going to have revival, there will be a place and a time of repentance. Here's what he said my people's got to do. They're going to have to turn from their wicked ways. Humble themselves. You could say that's repentance. Repenting from pride. My people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray. That could be repentance. Praying when they hadn't prayed. That you could say that's repentance. But it's no doubt that when he said turn from their wicked ways, that's repentance. Turning from. If you're turning from one, you're turning to another. Amen. Brother Elliot Smith told me one time that in his pastorate, he's had a couple of times when a man or a woman's come to him and said, I don't love my wife or I don't love my husband anymore. Brother Elliot said, I always ask them, who do you love? Because something turns you from them.
Right.
Amen. That ought to get a place in our heart that we'd say, I don't love the flesh like I did because I love God more. I don't love the world like I did. I don't love pleasure like I did because I love God more. Amen. And that is real repentance. Amen. But you know, if we're ever going to have revival, we can't expect the Sodomites to do the repenting. Amen. Wherever the Sodomites, you say the Sodomites in San Francisco, well, they're all over the place now. Not just in San Francisco. Pestilence is in our land as far as that. The locusts are devouring our land as far as that goes. But we can't expect the Sodomites in their sin to do the repenting. We can't expect the prostitutes and the drug dealers out on the street to do the repenting. We can't expect the folks up in the White House or in the halls of Congress to do the repenting. It's going to have to be God's people doing the repenting. That's what he said. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face. In short, we can't rely on anybody else to do the repenting. Amen. I know I can't force God to send revival, but I can tell God I'm sorry for my sorriness. I'm sorry for my fleshliness I'm sorry for my inconsistent Christian life. I'm sorry for that and ask God to help me do better. And then God may very well send revival. Amen. Isaiah chapter number 53, verse number 7 says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And here's what I think about. We use that as sinners, but he's talking about sheep.
Right.
Saved people. That's the way the average church is today. The average church does not sit as a congregation for a service. They come in they want to go their own way. One fellow's talking about this, another fellow's talking about that. One family's doing this, another family's doing that. Some people don't even have time to sit in the service and focus on the service. They're thinking about what they could be doing, or what they would be doing, or what they will be doing first chance they get. instead of coming in and gathering for a service. I was thinking about this recently. I've been thinking about some things in the old way, and I do believe that the old paths are better. The modern church has become an entertainment facility. But in the old days, they didn't come to be entertained. They didn't even, necessarily, to be honest with you, they didn't even come to see who's going to walk the aisle. They came to get fed from heaven's table. God help us to do that. We don't come hungry anymore a lot of times. We're so full of junk food, as they say. That's right, isn't it? Amen. But I believe Isaiah 53, verse number 7, there is a picture of the average church today. Everybody doing their own thing. No unity. Nobody interested in service. Amen. If revival comes, church services may not let out at the appropriate time. Whoever gets to decide what the appropriate time is.
Right.
Amen. If revivals come, I mean, if God blows through in revival, we may not, matter of fact, I won't say may, it will interrupt our program. Amen. It may make some demands on us that we're not used to. Amen. But I'll say this, if what we do or what we're wanting to do is more important than what God wants us to do, then our activities have become idolatrous. That's true, isn't it? If what we're wanting to do is more important to us than what God wants us to do, then our activity has become idolatrous. There will be a time of repentance. And then secondly, if we have revival, there will be a time of reaping. He said, then will I hear from heaven and will heal their land. I will forgive their sins. Let me see. I believe I got that out of order. If my people, which call by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven. I did. And will forgive their sin. Forgives, number two. And will heal their land. So there is a hearing, a forgiving, and a healing. Amen. I really believe that when God's children get to calling on God, I believe He's ready to hear. I believe He'll open the windows of heaven and pour out blessings that we cannot contain. I believe God is interested in meeting with His people again in 2017. Now, I'm preaching this. I don't have a meeting scheduled for the next while. I don't know when we'll have another meeting necessarily. But that's one of the things is we've got the mentality that revival has to be in a scheduled meeting time. I just said a minute ago, if we have revival, I believe it will mess up our program. I don't believe you can program God in revival. Amen. We have gotten so mechanical about those things, I'm afraid, amen, that we have programmed God right out of it. Amen. We're running right along. Leonard Ravenhill said that the average church is so mechanical that it could just run on without God. We don't need God. We can do everything that we need to do without Him. God help us. We can't be effectual without Him. Amen. We can preach. We can give invitations. We can pray. We can lead in prayer. We can do all that without God. But we can't do it effectually. Because the Holy Ghost is what makes it effectual. And I said it this morning, that song, Brethren, We've Met to Worship, says all is vain. All our singing's vain. All our preaching's vain. All our praying's in vain. All our invitations in vain, except the Spirit of the Holy One comes down. That's right, isn't it? We've wasted our time if we don't have God come. But if we repent, if we call on God, if God does send revival, there will be a time of reaping. And what a blessing that'll be. Amen. When we see God meeting with His people again, what a blessing. And when God meets with His people, as they say, business picks up. Things do happen. When God shows up, sinners get under conviction and sinners get saved. Amen. I've been blessed that we've had visitors lately. New, first-time visitors. People that I've not seen before. That's a blessing. I'd love to see somebody get saved by the good grace of God. Amen. See God get a hold of them that they'd begin weeping. They'd feel their burden of sin upon their shoulder. And they'd call on the Lord while He may be found. Amen. Amen. When God meets with His people, It's only natural that sinners come under conviction. Amen. It's only natural. It only be natural when God shows up. Amen. That it starts affecting other people around us. What's it going to take to have revival? Well, I know that it's up to God to move, but I do believe this. I believe there's reaping. If reaping is a result of revival, and God said, here's a way you can reap. He said, if you will weep, you can reap. He that goeth forth weeping, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again rejoicing, with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Amen. We have not because we ask not, the Bible says. There's a statement in there, in the Scripture. I believe there's a principle in the Scripture that if we will get serious with God, we can see God do great and mighty things. Amen. Again, it's not that we're twisting God's arm. It's not that we're making God do something He doesn't want to do. But God said, I want my people to call on me. I want my people to humble themselves. I want my people to get hungry. That's the whole idea about no rain. About the locusts eating up the crops. Getting hungry. I realize those are physical things. A lot of times people have to have a physical problem before they recognize they've got a spiritual problem. God wants His people hungry again for a move of God. God wants His people humble enough to ask Him. Not to think, well, I'll just go on and, you know, if God does it, hallelujah. If He don't, that's fine. We're doing fine. We don't need God. No, we got to humble ourselves to recognize we definitely do need God. Humble ourselves and pray and seek His face and turn from their wicked ways. Repenting and reaping if God sends revival. Let's stand to our feet. That's it. Stand to our feet. Heavenly Father, Lord, I love You. Thank You for the privilege, again, to be in the house of God, to be able to preach and proclaim the Word of God about revival. It's simple, Lord. It's so simple, and yet so true that we get caught up in our everyday activities, we get caught up in our own self, that we fail to pray like we ought to. We fail to humble ourselves and really seek after God. When I think about the old times, Lord, men that would go to the woodshed and pray, barn stall and pray, mothers that would kneel by the bed or by a chair or stand by the sink or the stove and call on God. Oh, Lord, give us a burden like that again. People that would bow on the altars and weep over children needing salvation. Over family members not living right and doing right. People that had a burden. Oh, Lord, I pray, burden us again. Revive us again, dear God. Stir us again, dear Lord. Help us to recognize the rain's been withheld. The locusts have come in and eaten up our land. The pestilence is among us. Lord, we need Your touch. We need Your reviving touch. Father, I pray, move in this invitation according to Thy will. We'll ask it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. We're going to sing. If the Lord spoke to you, you need to come. You obey the Lord and do whatever He says do while we sing this good song.